yes, and your life counts, and enthusiasm definitely makes a difference. Hello and welcome to the Sudden Eye Impact Show. I'm your host, Lee, coming to you from the DFW Metroplex. On the show, we discuss a variety of topics such as, but not limited to, responsibility, accountability, finances, vision, relationships, belief systems, and support systems, to name a few. The show's mission and purpose and intention is to discuss simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, health, and overall peace through utilizing your own latent resources that lie dormant within you. The show is spiritual, inspirational, and motivational, expressing powerful content that anyone can take and apply to any area of their life to change their life for the better or to change their life for the best. Thank you. And welcome to the show. We're going to open up with our special guest, transformational leader, tech consultant, owner of DreamPowerAcademy.com and Spiritual Athletics. His giftings and talents are impeccable, stupendous. You're really in for a treat. Let me welcome my friend, my mentor, my coach, my business partner, Mr. Jay Banks.
Thank you, Dwight. So we're here on Monday after Easter. Hope everyone had a good weekend. Again, we're experiencing life here globally. I know a lot of times we'll say things related to a specific country or region, but this is a situation where globally we're all experiencing very similar situations. I know different areas and countries have kind of different rules right now, ways they're operating, but we're all being impacted by this coronavirus and also the reactions, whether that's things that the government and medical society is doing to protect us, and also by the results of how you're choosing to operate during this situation. And that could be one based off of fear or one based off of faith. And we talked about this on a previous episode. And so here, Dwight and myself, we always like to redirect you towards faith, right? Keep your compass on what you would like to achieve, how you would like to feel, what you would like the results to be for your family, your community, your country, for the entire world. So based on that, I wanted today to share a story. And I think I'll have enough time to share this story. And the reason I wanted to share this story is, you know, many of us have heard different opportunities out there in terms of support, whether you're a small business, there are SBA loans, there are payment programs or what they call payroll programs out there. If you have the ability to get in touch with your accounting representatives, your CPAs, if you don't have an accounting person that you're speaking to, you can always go to the SBA website. And there's also plenty of resources online where people are explaining some of the benefits that are coming through for small businesses. And now there should be more coming. I've heard there's more. But also individually, there are, I think, credits or checks that are being distributed based off of next year's tax return. That's something important for you to research that the government is giving to each individual here in the United States. So these are ways that they're helping. I know statewide, federal, there's different things that are going on. The reason I bring that up is because there are individuals who are thriving during this situation, and companies that are thriving. The reason I say that is the company Zoom, right? They do the online videos. I think their stock went up. I don't even know the percentage, but I mean, it shot up in the past 2 weeks, right? The amount of people that are using this platform now because everybody's working from home. Many home-based businesses, myself as a coach, I've seen an uptick in activity, clients, in the work that I'm doing. I've also worked from home for many years in the tech space. So a lot of the things that are happening in terms of working from home, this is normal for me. The reason I'm saying that is because some people will think that a lot of people are in a tough situation. There's a lot of people that are actually thriving right now. And there's a lot of businesses and people who are changing their businesses over to a online model. So I've talked to two coaches now that actually do physical training in front of people. They have now taken those classes online. And they just got creative in the way that they did that. I've also talked to a few friends who are massage therapists, who do body work, who do one-on-one work with people. They're in a tough situation right now, right? They're trying to figure out how they can operate. So what I wanted to do here is read a story, and this story is called the 333 story. And this is a story that was put together by my mentors and Dwight's mentor as well, and this is Bob Proctor, a very famous coach, speaker, very successful. I think he's 86 years old now, so he's been studying Think and Grow Rich for over 40 years. And he put together a story here, and I'm going to read through this as fast as I can, but I want to read it slow enough to where we understand this. This is something that can really help you get your mindset in the right place when it comes to looking at your situation and figuring out ways that you can be creative and resolve any current issues you have or even things that you may like to create going forward. So take some time and listen to this story, and then I'll speak to this in more detail towards the second half of my presentation in today's call. Thank you. This is called the 333 story by Bob Proctor. I was conducting a seminar which ran from Thursday night to Sunday at the Deerhurst Lodge, a resort property which is a resort approximately 100 miles north of Toronto. On the Friday night, a tornado swept through Barrie, Ontario, a town about 40 miles south of Deerhurst. The tornado killed a dozen people and did millions of dollars worth of damage. On the Sunday night, as I was coming home, I stopped the car when I got to Barrie. I got out on the side of the highway and looked around. It was a mess. Everywhere I looked, there were smashed houses and cars turned upside down. That same night, another gentleman, Bob Templeton, was driving down the same highway. He and I had never met. However, an idea from my seminar was about to bring us together in a lasting friendship. He stopped to look at the disaster, just as I had, only his thoughts were different than my own. Bob was the vice president of Telemedia Communications, a company which owns a string of radio stations in Ontario and Quebec. As he stood there viewing the disaster, he thought there must be something he could do for these people with the radio stations he had. That thought kept returning to his mind that night and all the next day. The following night, I was doing another seminar in Toronto. Bob Templeton and Bob Johnson, another vice president from Telemedia, came in and stood at the back of the room. They were evaluating my seminar, trying to decide if I could help their company reach its goals, which I ultimately did. Because of Bob Templeton's influence, I subsequently worked for the entire Canadian broadcasting industry. He loved what I was doing in my seminars because it was in harmony with his way of thinking. Bob Templeton became fascinated with the laws of the universe, particularly the law of polarity, or as it is often referred to, the law of opposites. This law clearly states everything has an opposite. You cannot have an up without a down, hot without cold, or in without out. By the same token, if you can figure out why something you want to do cannot be done, by law, you must be able to figure out how it can be done. People who accomplish great things are aware of the negative. However, they give all of their mental energy to the positive. After the seminar, Bob Templeton went back to his office. He told me it was late, but this one idea he picked up had him excited. It also had him committed to the idea of raising millions of dollars and giving it to the people who had been caught up in the tornado. And he was going to raise the money immediately. Furthermore, he was not remotely interested in why he couldn't. The following Friday, he called all of his executives at Telemedia into his office. At the top of a flip chart in bold letters, he wrote three threes. He said to his executives, "How would you like to raise $3 million 3 days from now in just 3 hours and give the money to the people in Bari?" There was nothing but silence in the room. Finally, someone said, "Templeton, you're crazy. There is absolutely no way we could raise $3 million in 3 hours, 3 days from now." Bob said, "Wait a minute. I didn't ask you if we could, or even if we should. I just asked you if you would like to." Bob Templeton was wise. He was appealing to the charitable side of their nature. It was important for those present to openly admit that this was something they wanted to do. Bob Templeton knew that his new idea could show anyone how to accomplish anything they wanted by working with the law. They all said, "Sure, we'd like to." He then drew a large T under 333. On one side he wrote, "Why we can't." On the other side he wrote, "How we can't." Under the words, "Why we can't," Bob Templeton drew a large X. As he placed the X on the flip chart, he said, "Now, there's no place to record the ideas we think of which explain why we can't raise $3 million in 3 hours, 3 days from now, regardless of how valid they might be." He continued by explaining, "When anyone calls out an idea which suggests why we can't, everyone else must yell out as loud as they can, 'Next!' That will be our command to go to the next idea. Ideas are like cars on a train. One always follows the other. We will keep saying 'next' until a positive idea arrives." Bob smiled and continued to explain that opposite the X on the other side of the flip chart, directly under the words "how we can," I will write down every idea that we can come up with on how we can raise $3 million in 3 hours, 3 days from now. He also suggested in a very serious tone of voice that everyone will remain in the room until we figure it out. We are not only going to think of how we can raise $3 million immediately after we originate the ideas, we are going to execute them. There was silence again. Finally, someone said, "We could do a radio show across Canada." Bob said, "That's a great idea," and wrote it down under "how we can." Before he had it written on the right-hand side of the flip chart, someone said, "You can't do a radio show across Canada. We don't have radio stations across Canada." Since Telemedia only had stations in Ontario and Quebec, you must admit that was a pretty valid objection. However, someone in the back of the room, in a rather soft tone, said, "Next." Bob Templeton replied, "Doing a radio show is how we can. That idea stays." But this truly did sound like a ridiculous idea, because radio stations are very competitive. They usually don't work together, and to get them to do so would be virtually impossible according to the standard way of thinking. All of a sudden, someone suggested, "You could get Harvey Kirk and Lloyd Robertson, the biggest names in Canadian broadcasting, to anchor the show. These gentlemen are anchors of national stature in the Canadian television industry." Someone clearly spoke out, saying, "They're not going to go on radio." But at that point, the group yelled, "Next!" Bob said that was when the energy shifted. Everyone got involved, and it was absolutely amazing how fast and furious the creative ideas began to flow. That was on a Friday. The following Tuesday, they had a radiothon where 50 radio stations from all across the country agreed to work in harmony for such a good cause. They felt it didn't matter who got the credit as long as the people in Bari got the money. Harvey Kirk and Lloyd Robertson anchored the show, and they succeeded in raising $3 million in 3 hours within 3 business days. You see, you can have whatever you want. All things are possible when you put your focus on how you can, and next, every idea telling you why you can't. This may be a difficult exercise in the beginning. However, when you persist nexting any and all negative concepts, the flow of positive ideas will roar into your marvelous mind. Alfred Adler, the renowned psychologist, coined the extraordinary phrase, "I am grateful to the idea that has used me." there can be no doubt that creative, forward-thinking ideas literally breathe new life into every fiber of your being. They awaken a part of you that you never even knew was sleeping. Bob Templeton never received 5 cents for the leadership role he played in marshaling 50 radio stations from right across Canada to raise the $3 million for the people of Barrie, Ontario, and Canada. However, you must remember that this is truly an orderly universe. God's way of running this show is exact. When you put good out, it must come back. I shared this story when it happened with two good friends of mine, Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. They were so intrigued by the story, they published it in their book, Chicken Soup for the Soul. A while back, I was doing a satellite television broadcast for Remax Real Estate with Mark Victor Hansen, and he was telling me that, at last count, they had sold 6 million copies of their book. He also told me they are constantly receiving letters from people who read the 333 story and use it to perform similar mental magic in their lives. Think of it. Millions upon millions of people are making positive things happen in their lives because Bob Templeton would not listen to the reasons why he and his staff could not raise $3 million in 3 hours, just 3 days, after they began to brainstorm the idea. By the way, Bob Templeton has told me he and his staff have formed the habit of 333-ing their wants, and as a result, he has gone on to become the president of NewCap Broadcasting Company, a highly profitable corporation with stations right across Canada. It is my opinion that Bob Templeton has set up a force for good that will follow him wherever he goes. Profit has become his second name. Begin at once to 333 all of your wants, and profit will follow you as well. So that story that I just shared is a story by Bob Proctor. And that's the 333 story. Very powerful story. Very clear exercise there that you can take in your own personal life. If you're in a situation where you need to come up with money, Dwight mentioned this on a previous show. If you're broke, right, and that's a term that people use, meaning you don't have enough money, you focus on getting money. You focus on the ways that you can. You focus on what you can do. Same thing in the situations that we're in now. Many of us are limited in our movement. We're limited in maybe our funds and what we can do. Focus on what you can do. Focus on what you would like to do. And for those of you who are looking to grow or do something new, right? Maybe you're thriving right now and you want to do more. You want to help other people. Think of ways that you can, just like this group did, right? They thought of ways that they could help those individuals in that city. There's a lot of people in our communities that can use help now. Also, use this exercise to think of ways that you can. So you'll see very clearly here, again, this is a direction towards faith, right? How can I? What can I go do? How can I help? How can I help myself? Those are all the directions of faith. So I appreciate you letting me share this story today. I hope this story comes at a time that is helpful for you. Please share it with your friends and family. Listen to it again and again. And please go through the exercises. As Dwight and I mentioned before, knowledge is just listening to the story. Understanding, gaining understanding, is you going through the exercises from this story and actually experiencing it yourself. That's where you gain understanding. And stick with it. Have persistence, right? We're all going to come up against struggles, or this may not be a normal way of operating. Create a new way of operating by using this story. Thank you.
Any of the listeners out there that would like to find out more information or that is interested in working with Jarin Banks, you can reach him at dreampoweracademy.com. Once again, that's dreampoweracademy.com. Anyone that's interested in finding more about Sudden Impact, you can reach me at S as in supersonic, O as in ocean, U as in umpire, N as in natural, E as in exemplary, R as in referee, H as in humble, A as in accelerate, V as in value, E as in eagle, and N as in NASA at yahoo.com, Soonerhaven at yahoo.com. I'm going to continue down the same lane, same vein, with these courageous conversations. And I'm bringing that Oklahoma Thunder light because it's dark out there. And I want to first start off by thanking Jay Banks for joining the show today. I know he had a lot going on. I want to recommend three books. I don't like to use this terminology, but it's referred to as downtime. We have a lot of additional time on our hand that we normally wouldn't have free. So I want to recommend these three books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Think and Grow Rich, and The Science of Getting Rich. And I'm going to start out with the equation that's on the front of the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. E as an employee, S as in self-employed, the left side of the equation. And then B as in business owner and I as in investor, the right side of the equation. I'm going to give an example. Let's say we have, with these four representatives, $8 billion. So eight with nine zeros, not 8 million, 8 billion workers in some form or fashion. 99%, which is 7,920,000,000, are operating off their five senses. 1%, which is 80 million, are operating off their mental faculty, which is intuition, imagination, memory, perception, reason, and will. Now, with that being said, the 7,920,000,000 is less than, is worth less than the 80 million. Those are unfathomable numbers, startling figures, astonishing numbers. So that means that 98% of the wealth is controlled by 80 million people. 2% of the money, which represents the category of the 99%, is paycheck to paycheck living and below up to the middle class. So what are you saying? What I'm saying is that 98% of the world's wealth is controlled by 80 million people, and 2% of money is controlled by 7,920,000,000 people. Given this example, this is just an example, this shouldn't be. So in these times, the reason I'm recommending these books is so that we can educate ourselves. And when things open back up and things begin to speed up, we get back into the normal ebbs and flows of life, we can stimulate our mind. And instead of having our amygdala firing, we can participate in neuroplasticity, the hard rewiring of our brain, and release the proper chemicals such as serotonin and dopamine, activating the neocortex and the reticular activating system instead of having the amygdala fire off, releasing negative emotions that release chemicals that we are hooked on that assist us in staying in the same old condition of running around the track at the same pace, being in the same place at the same time, all the time. Poorsville, Grumble Alley, and just negative, depressed, suppressed, repressed. It's time to come out of these states. And what we're going to have to do in order to do this is, I'm going to give an example. Being broke, being poor, and dwelling in poverty is not your normal state. And the example that I'm going to give is, let's take a small ball. It doesn't matter what the ball is. And let's press the ball down in a tub full of water. You're using force to press the ball down in water. And the ball is naturally resisting because it knows that that's not its natural state. The ball wants to be on top of the water. But the human being is pushing the ball down into the water, And the ball with resistance is putting up a fight to get back to its natural state. So it is with you. Unless you change your beliefs and thought processes from some that I listed on the last show, and I'll revisit those, old beliefs, money is hard to get, money is hard to come by, money doesn't grow on trees, money is the root of all evil. People that have money are greedy and done something illegal to obtain it. Can't be spiritual and have too much money. Money is filthy lucre. A rich man can't go to heaven. You are going to have to get that out of your system. That is wrong thinking. That is wrong believing. That is wrong speaking. That is wrong expecting. That's indecision. That's fear. Jay Banks talked about this. You need to be stimulated and moving in faith. You need to get beyond what you can currently see. You already have that condition. You want to attract a better, more improved situation so you can keep it moving. So you need to replace these old beliefs, and I know some of them resonate with you. Some of them you heard before. Some of them have snuck into your subconscious. You're going to have to weed them out. So a new belief, money comes to me frequently and easily. Money is attracted to me. Money grows by seed. I'm sowing the right seeds of belief. I'm sowing the right seeds of thought. I'm sowing the right seeds of words. I'm sowing the right seeds of expectations. I'm sowing the right seeds of inspired action. Money is a good idea. Money is good and very good. Being rich is a privilege, not an entitlement. Being rich is a privilege, not an entitlement. Being rich is a privilege, not an entitlement. So if you're having a stagnant, inharmonious, and resistant relationship with money, because you will have a relationship with money from the cradle to the grave, here's what I invite you to do. And I'm going to give you an example of myself. Get an example of something that scares you or terrifies you. For me, it's the dragon on Super Mario Brothers that throws the things at you and blows the fire at you as you're trying to save the princess. Some people might be laughing, but there's a reason I'm doing this. You're going to have to detach from your negative emotions and your negative experiences. You're going to have to go into your inner child, you know, maybe the years of 5 years old to 9 years old. It will vary from person to person, but it's around that time frame. You're going to have to go back into your initial experiences with money. And recall those conversations, recall those feelings, what happened when you were sent to the store, what you heard about when you were in your home and when you were in your family members' homes or you were in your relatives' homes. So I'm going to need you to make the shift from what I just explained to you to something that makes you feel good or that puts you at ease or beautiful scenery or whatnot. So I'm going to come from a heterosexual standpoint. All women can identify a good-looking or handsome man, and all men can acknowledge a beautiful or attractive woman. So I'm going to give you my example. And I'm going to start off with my wife. I won't say her name, but that's an example. And then Bella Hadid, Beyonce, Halle Berry, Tyra Banks, And then for the women, you know, different ages. But, you know, I've heard this through the years. Plus, I'm over 40, so I can relate and connect. So a lot of the women, you know, they like Denzel. They like Drake. They like Jamie Foxx. They like Boris Kodjoe. They like Tyson Beckford. So what I'm doing is giving you an example. If your relationship with money right now is filled with resistance, it's inharmonious, it's contentious, it's indifferent, you need to figure out, you know, something that makes you afraid of something that scares you. I mean, it could be Freddy Krueger. It could be Frankenstein. It could be Jaws. It could be Jason. And in that state, that's your current state of your relationship with money. Now I need you to shift. If you are a male, you need to pick out a woman, a beautiful woman, and make that the depiction of your relationship with money and work towards that. And if you are a man, you need to pick out a woman, Beyonce, whoever, and make that your depiction of money. So you want to shift from the horror film that you're currently participating in to being at the Academy Awards and your movie winning an award. This is just something I want to throw out there to you. And like Jay Banks mentioned on last week's show, none of this is cast in stone. We're just giving you a blueprint, something that you can adjust, you can modify, you can enhance, you can improve, so on and so forth. We're just trying to help you be the person that you were meant to be and live the life that you were destined to live.
Jaron Banks back from Dream Power Academy. Thank you, Dwight, for sharing those exercises around money. That's really important. Your emotional state and how you think about money and how you operate. And I'm going to stay on the same subject and premise because this is such a big item in our life. And I know Dwight just shared, you know, a lot of us have been taught that money is a bad thing, it's evil. It's not the most important thing. I think we all know it's not the most important thing. So when you hear someone saying that, sometimes I question why they're saying that. You know what I mean? Like it's like they're covering something up. So it's really important to get into a relationship with money, right? You get to the point where you don't even think about it anymore. You just operate a certain way. And that is really what consumes a lot of what Dwight mentioned earlier, the 98% or 99%, is they're actually thinking about money day in and day out. It's driving their choices. It's affecting their emotional moods. And that's impacting their family, how they operate, their health, and also the next steps that they take, right? And some people start operating, again, out of fear or lack, or they start to agree with poverty. A common way that can happen, and I've caught myself doing it, even now I still, this is something you work on daily, right? You see something that you really desire. Maybe it's a house, it's a car, it's some clothing, maybe it's a new computer. It's something that you really know, wow, that's for me. Like, you know, it's not something that you just kind of superficially want, or you've watched a couple commercials and now you're thinking about it. No, it's something that as soon as you saw it, you're like, that's it, that's the one. And then you go look at the price tag or you find out how much it costs, and instantly you're making up reasons why you can't have it, right? That's what we call agreeing with poverty. If you see something that you really want, you may not have the money at that time. You may not be making enough money to qualify for the mortgage or pay the down payment or whatever is required for whatever item that is. Or it may not be the wisest choice based on other things that are more important in your budget or what you're doing on a daily basis. But there's no reason for you to stop looking at that particular item, stop desiring it, and for you to actually cut off your creative ability and just say, no, I can't have it. Why not ask the other question, like we talked about earlier in the 333 story, what can I do to get that item? It may not be overnight, right? It may take some time. It may take a couple of years. But I always tell people, if someone told you that you were going to do these habits for 5 years, and 5 years from now you would become a millionaire, guaranteed, most people would do those things. And there'd be a few who wouldn't, because they'd be like, oh, that's too long. You know, it's hilarious, because they've never been a millionaire before. You tell them they can do it in 5 years, and they say, oh, it's too long, right? So some of those people are just going to pull themselves out anyway. That's just the nature of the way we are as humans. Some people are just not going to do it. And part of that is they just do not have the patience. Patience is going to always be required. The thing is, a lot of times what we think is going to be a long time is not a long time. And 5 years can go by so fast, you'll look back, and a lot of times we look back and we're like, wow, I just let 5 years go by and I still didn't take steps toward my dream or the things that I want. So I want to really get down to a few core items here that can really help you, especially during these times. As Dwight said, we don't really like to use the word downtime, because I know for him and I, like, this is uptime for us. This is go time. Like, we're doubling down on the activities that we do, the study, the contact, reaching out to people, helping people, and thinking of new ideas, because we're in a space where we don't have so many distractions from the outside going on. I can actually sit back and think. And so one of the key things to really talk about, and we've talked about this before, but I want to reiterate this again. Get clear on what you have coming in terms of income, and what you have going out in terms of expenses. This is not about what you want coming in and what you want going out or how you feel about it. This is being honest, putting it down on paper, and getting everything down on paper. Even if you've lost your job, you have unemployment that you're expecting to come in, it hasn't come in yet, maybe a tax return check, or, you know, money coming in from the government based on some of the assistance, whatever it is that's coming in, put that down. And whatever it is that's going out, put that down, and also write down your debts, if you have assets, and all these items. And if you've never done this before, this is a powerful exercise, because now you're starting to get clear on what you actually have or where you're at right now. This is very important. It's letting you see where you are. And so what I'm showing you is a map. We're drawing out a map. When you're on a map, you have to know where you are and you have to know where you're going, or the map is useless. Otherwise, you're just going around in circles. And many people are operating that way. They don't know where they are, and they have no idea where they want to go. So you'll see that constantly they're rolling check to check, just like Dwight mentioned earlier, right? Situation to situation. The economy goes up or down, it impacts that person up or down. The way that you can weather these storms and the way that you can start to operate, and as our mentor Bob Proctor says, create your own economy, is this first step. Understand what you have going in and coming out. Second step, what do you want to do? So what type of house do you want to have? Where do you want to live? What type of car do you want? It's really powerful just to write down, and you can play a game. The game is just say to yourself, if money was not an issue. And this game is tough for many people, because the brain, they'll be like, well, no, money does matter. No, you're just playing a game. You need to go back to when you were a kid, because kids, and if you have children, children will teach you this faster than anyone else. They can teach you better than I can, because they do it so well. Just play a game where money is not an issue. You have as much money in the world. What would you do? What would you have? What would you buy? Who would you help? What would you leave behind as a legacy? What bills would you pay off? What would you have in savings? What trips would you take? All those things. And just keep going. I've done this exercise 2 years ago. I'm still writing it out. Like, stuff just keeps coming up. But what's so good about it is you really start to get clear on the things that you really are interested in. It has nothing to do with how much it costs or what anybody else thinks. It's, man, these are the things that I've always wanted. Once you have all that down, that is going to give you a direction. That's what's going to fire you up and give you the desire to start to learn and change your habits with money. And Dwight gave you three good books earlier, right? Think and Grow Rich, The Science of Getting Rich, and Rich Dad, Poor Dad. There's mindsets in all those books that will help you look at money differently, help you look at your time. So a lot of times when people have problems with money, they always go to a deeper root of they are not aware of how valuable their time is. It's a matter of value, meaning they're allowing their time to be used and spent into things that is not giving them returns back, right? Their return on investment is low. Watching Netflix, the return on investment is it's almost minus, right? Like you're actually losing. Spending time with people who don't have your interest at heart, who are not helping you towards your dreams, can be pretty low. Doesn't mean you need to cut people off, but you limit your time when you're around people. You know, if you know you need to be studying and the people that are around you know you need to study and they're asking you to go to the bar or go waste your time doing something else, those are probably people you want to spend a little bit less time with. If you are looking at your time, looking at where you want to go, then you can start to set your day-to-day actions and your habits. And we've talked about this in previous discussions. And this is what really opens up into this time right now that Dwight just mentioned, being able to read these books, being able to learn new items and understand new areas, and being able to actually set a new financial path, right? It's not people who have a lot of money or who are financially free or who are wealthy, they define those things first. So you define how you want to live and how you want to operate, and then you take the action steps to get there. Many people think those things just happen to someone, and then the mindset comes afterwards. It's the opposite. The mindset comes before. As a mentor of mine said, if you can't manage $10 well, you can't manage $10 million well. But people always say that, oh, when I get more money, I can do this. No, you're not managing the money that you have right now correctly. So that's why that number one item is important, because I've learned this in my own personal life. I've had many failures and many successes, and I've learned a lot from my failures. And one of the things that I learned was I was getting caught up emotionally with money, as Dwight mentioned earlier, and I was spending it in ways that wasn't giving me a return. So I was getting caught up in following what everybody else was doing, and I also was getting caught up in spending money because I was upset about something else and not really addressing what my goals were and where I wanted to go. So I was always off track because I didn't have that set. So if you go back through these steps, figure out where your money's going in and out, figure out what it is that you really want, and then number three, it's just the direction. You already have the map. You know where you are. You know where you want to go. And number three is just what steps am I going to take each day? It may be reading for an hour each day. Maybe that's all you have. It may be meeting with a financial advisor. It may be having a discussion with your partner, your business partner, your spouse, your children, your family. It may be sitting down and reading from other people who have done really well with finances, right, and see what they do. And keep educating yourself and improving. It may be just saving 10% each paycheck. and putting it away, right? It's a small amount, but that creates a new habit. But pay yourself first. So these are all small things that you can do. And as Dwight mentioned, you can always reach out to us to learn more. But I wanted to focus in on this because this is something that's coming up a lot in the news. It's something that a lot of people are dealing with. And I always say this to my clients, and I'll repeat this here. When you're dealing with a situation that's worrisome, fearful, it's a troubling situation, you actually go towards it. You embrace it. You go deeper into it, and you start to ask yourself questions. What can I learn from this situation? How can I improve? What can I do to resolve this? Right? What's the opposite of this? Many people will run away, and they'll hide from it, and they'll think, oh, if I just ignore it for long enough, it'll go away. But that's not the case, right? So embrace the fear and turn that into faith, right? Embrace your worry and turn that into courage. Turn that into feeling solid and sturdy with the foundation, and reach out for people for help, right? Have humility and ask for help. I've done that in my past, too, as well. Ask for help, get advice during these times, and be clear and communicate to people what you would like to do, what your dreams are. You would love, I mean, you would just be amazed at how many people, including Dwight and myself, we're here to help. People love helping other people. They just don't know until you tell them. So that's what I'm going to share today. Again, I'm staying on the subject of money. Dollar bills, as a lot of people like to say, it's an important subject, but we're talking about the mindset that can lead you into having more wealth, whether that's in money, food, resources, relationships, health, many other things. So that's my time for today, and I'll pass it back to Dwight, and thank you again.
Thank you, Jay Banks. Well spoken. Coming back, you know, live on the Sutton Eye Impact Show, we're talking about economic empowerment, the two primary ways you receive money, people at work for money and money at work for people. We've covered a lot today. I was something else that I wanted to cover that I won't have time to cover, but I'll dive into it on the next show. There's a book by David Hawkins, I like to recommend. I don't know the title, but you can Google him. And it's about the energy fields. I like for everybody to get that book and begin to read that with the time that you have to invest. As we draw to a close on the show, we've covered a lot. We talked about rich dad, poor dad, the equation that's on the front of it, the E, the S, the B, and the I, the left side of the equation, the right side of the equation. I gave an example. It's just an example, but at some point we will have 8 billion workers in the field, and this example that I gave by the numbers will be true at some point in the very near future. And basically, if you had 8 billion workers through some form, whether it's employed, self-employed, business owner, or investor, it breaks down this way. The 99% of the people operate with their 5 senses. That's equivalent to 7,920,000,000 people. We're talking about 9 zeros, not 6 zeros, billion. And then the 1% is the 80 million people. They're operating off intuition, imagination, memory, perception, reason, and will, or you could just say your 6th sense, diving into your mental faculties. Now, it's amazing that this 1% controls 98% of the wealth. And then the 7,920,000,000 represents 2% that live paycheck to paycheck or below, all the way up to the middle class. So, with that being said, the reason that the people are in the 99% category or where they are is because of their believing and thinking. And this is very profound. Listen to these words. It's the reason that this is happening. A belief supplies a certain thought. That thought is like a seed, and the fruit from it is expressed. A belief supplies a certain thought. That thought is like a seed, and the fruit from it is expressed. Find the belief which supplied the thought, in parentheses, I have cause, then you can change the effect. Unwanted circumstances, unwanted condition, unwanted thing. This was an amazing show. Those that got to hear this live and those that will hear it once it is recorded, there is not a lot of people out there with this type of explosive content. Most people don't like to talk about money. It takes courage to talk about money. But I believe that Jay Banks gave you some simple, basic, fundamental things and a very profound story, the 333. Things that if you will just listen, re-listen to it over and over again, it doesn't matter how long it takes you to get it, as long as you get it. With that being said, I'm drawing to a close, and I'll leave you with a few quotes. If you can dream it, you can do it. Walt Disney. A dream doesn't become a reality through magic. It takes sweat, determination, and hard work. 4-star General Colin Powell. If one advances confidently in the directions of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he or she will meet with success unexpected in common hours. Henry David Thoreau. I command you to be an agent of change, be an ambassador of change. First you will change you, then you will change your world, and everything in it will change. If you desire to be an eagle, leave those chickens alone. Until the next time, keep your head up. Signing out, Jay Banks and D. Lee.